Before we begin, please refer to the disclaimer and link in the podcast notes, and note that all opinions expressed in this podcast are intended for informational purposes only and should not be treated as investment or financial advice.
The co-founder of the world's largest exchange sentenced to prison, and is airdrop season over? We break down all this to you right now in under 30 minutes, bringing you the most actionable insights in the crypto market. Nick, how are you going?
Yeah, I'm going really great. Despite, I think, some of the market downturns, it's rebounding. I think it's nothing out of the ordinary. And I was actually kind of surprised that we didn't see more volatility in the last couple months. So we finally got it and happy to dig in. It's been a action-packed week. Talk about Binance CZ. We got a lot of earnings that have come in. So as always, a lot to dive into.
Yeah, let's get into it, the market recap. And yeah, it's strange. Time recording, we're about flat for the past 7 days, but there are a lot of turbulence in the past week. About the middle of last week, we really saw some real negative price action. Bitcoin going down to about 56,000, so its lowest price in 9 or 10 weeks. The bleeding just continued for a number of days before rallying and correcting all the way back to flat here. So we saw a lot of altcoins performing a lot worse, but then on the way up, they performed a lot stronger, which is just like clockwork, really, in this asset class. So really, just some topical things from last week. A lot of the price action was around, the US Federal Reserve's announcement and policy update, which we talked about last week. But that sort of came in at expectations, with the market interpreting that as there likely won't be any rate cuts throughout our winter or their summer. And there's now the market pricing in probably like a 60 to 70% chance that there'll be a rate cut by September. So again, once we walk it back to end of last year, market was pricing in 6 or 7 rate cuts of 25 basis points each. And now we're getting to this stage where some more extreme views are that there'll be no rate cuts. And now the market overall is pricing in, there might be 1, maybe most optimistically 2. And the crypto market really prefers a situation where interest rates are lower. So that's just to really emphasize like why this stuff is important. But yeah, that's really the main points from the past week.
And what about the streak's over? I know you had 7 weeks of 7 months of gains. That's finally came to a halt, which I think the good times had to come to an end, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's it. The first monthly downturn for Bitcoin in particular was in the month of April. So hopefully that streak can reset itself as we go May into the end of the year. But in terms of the biggest news, absolutely has to do with CZ, the former CEO of Binance.
Yeah, so we finally got his trial underway, and he was sentenced to 4 months in a US prison. So this was a huge deal because Binance, the biggest exchange in the world, they had a lot of gray clouds over the market. Whenever one of the biggest founders gets penalized, that's going to shake up crypto markets. I don't know, a lot of people are looking at this as a kind of an indication about how hard they're going to come down on CZ. Mm. And it looks like he's got the lighter end of the spectrum. Authorities kind of are looking at like 3 years as a sort of a maximum for him. So we've only got 4 months, so that's much lighter. There's a lot of speculation then that comes up is how cooperative CZ has been with US. Obviously, he's exchanged Binance, tremendous reach across the crypto sphere. So I'm wondering how much that has to play with his lighter sentence. But we also have to remember, I think a $4 billion fine, one of the biggest fines that was ever handed down by US authorities. So one of the gray clouds that was overhanging the market has been alleviated. So CZ may come back probably by the end of the year, maybe. Yeah. Depends when his sentence is. But a lot there to like in terms of some gray clouds have been alleviated from the market. And hopefully we hear the last of Binance chatter.
Yeah, that's good. Good to have that behind us. In terms of an ETF update, there continued to be outflows last week. So again, it's really going to this story of 2024 so far, where price and ETF flows have been quite strongly correlated. We did see one notable event, I think on Friday in the US time, was the GBTC, so the largest Bitcoin ETF, actually had its first day of net inflows, which was very notable because, that sort of implies everyone had sort of been seeing it go down, their balances. and that was contributing to the overall picture for these ETFs, always offsetting the gains done by the likes of Bitwise and Fidelity and whatnot. But yeah, GBTC actually getting some demand too. So just notable there. And we talked about Hong Kong recently with their approvals of these ETFs. We did speak about how they are a tiny market compared to the US when you're talking about ETFs. That sort of came to fruition in the sense that the flows going into these Hong Kong ETFs for Bitcoin and Ethereum were quite small, going around 12 million or so on the first day of action, which is, again, a slither of what it was in the US. So, again, nice to have more support for ETF and accessibility, but the big story still is in the US.
What about, I guess, everyone that's looking at outflows? They're seeing, I think, 3 weeks of outflows. I'm not sure if that's where we're approaching four. We saw, I think, one of the biggest total net outflows, I think 500 million. A lot of people may be concerned that, oh, it's bearish now. Are the ETF flows over? A lot of people will be really concerned. Maybe you can shed some light, because I saw that BlackRock's head of digital assets, they were kind of the opinion that, hey, this is just a halt and very natural occurrence with the level of flows that came into the market. And they even talked about sovereign wealth funds, pensions, these next kind of buyers that could step in. And do you see that playing out as well, that this is only a short-term breather and we've got a lot more inflows to come? I know we talked about things like these ETFs are going to be pitched to investors and, you know, people that are asking for it.
Mm.
We talked about the trading wheels are still on it.
Mm. Yeah, I think we covered that last week or 2 weeks ago with that whole Morgan Stanley reports coming out where they were soon going to be able to offer solicited advice based on educating their clients or making them aware of these ETF products, which is an enormous factor. And yeah, to answer your question, I strongly believe there'll be significantly more demand for these ETFs as access to them grows. We talked about many times. For me personally, I think it is my most bullish factor of 2024. The fact that the market is sort of maybe discounting, at least in my opinion, discounting what is going to be a big wave of demand coming through the likes of these pension funds, sovereign wealth funds. I think insurers was another one that Bitwise always keeps mentioning. They're having conversations with endowments, like the university endowments or different industry endowments and whatnot. So there's a lot to say and speculate that may be coming. That's the thing. We won't really know until about a year from now whether that turned out to be true. But Bitwise and BlackRock are really sort of going out in the public, the PR, and sort of really suggesting that this is going to be happening soon in the coming months. Whether they're talking their book remains to be seen. But I don't know, I have no reason to not believe them at this stage, given this like really surprisingly strong demand we saw from that limited set of investors in January and February.
Yeah, maybe stepping outside of the big ETF news and maybe looking at other big public companies that have just recently reported their earnings. I saw Coinbase, they had their earnings. Block, famous for having Bitcoin payments. They come out and I think boasted quite positive earnings, which I think was to be expected and which reinforces, I guess, the bull market that we're in. Coinbase, I think, had a total revenue of something like $1.6 billion in the first quarter. And I think there was a 72% gain from the fourth quarter of 2023. And one of the notable ones we've been talking a lot for our members is looking at their base chain. That, I think, had $18 million worth of revenue, I think, actual profit. So it's showing that it's business outside of just the main exchange, quite booming, and really keen to see Base. I know they actually talked about it in their earnings a lot, about moving more activity towards Base. I think Armstrong, who was the CEO of Coinbase, even said to be on the lookout for more movement to Base in the coming months. So really excited to see that. And another really cool earnings bit of alpha we saw was Block Inc. They come out and said they're going to be using 10% of its Bitcoin-related profits to buy more Bitcoin. So not their entire profit, unfortunately, maybe in the future. But this is another small indication that, hey, we're going to see these big companies kind of buy Bitcoin in small ways. So it's another cool use there. Another big one was Tether. We talked a lot about Tether. about where there's a lot of uncertainty in the past couple of years, but they just continue to post record profits and possibly becoming like the best crypto business there is after adding, I think, $1 billion to its reserves. And I think they had a record profit of $4.5 billion last quarter. So Tether just continues to surprise. I think the big takeaway for me, at least, I'm not sure your opinion on Tether, is that maybe it's kind of an end to this Tether FUD concern about whether they're backed or not. They've pretty much got to be fumbling the ball completely to mess up, you know, in such a gigantic way, because they really have a big lead at the moment.
Yeah, I share that outlook on Tether. And yeah, just going back to that news about Block. So to get that figure accurate there, it was 10%. So they said, would they invest up to like 10% of their profits related to their Bitcoin products and services?
Yeah, Bitcoin related products and services. So like the fees they get off their Bitcoin trading, or like Cash App or other Bitcoin, you know, on ramps like that. That's kind of what they said. So Bitcoin specific, and it was sort of an up to.
Yeah, nice. I think that might have been announced, as part of the earnings, as you said, and it came around the same time as the MicroStrategy conference that we spoke about. And that's, again, about educating other enterprises and corporates how to, one of the aspects is how to accumulate Bitcoin, because there's, you know, ways to do it that don't impact the market price. And that's something that MicroStrategy has sort of pioneered. And I know Block was also like promising to help educate other corporations about how to do this in a tax efficient manner and whatnot. And yeah, speaking of MicroStrategy, they did have that conference that we did talk about 3 weeks ago or whatever. And one of the biggest announcements out of that was, yeah, MicroStrategy announcing Orange, which is a enterprise platform really for building decentralized identity apps on top of Bitcoin. Some are calling it similar to inscriptions for institutions.
Yeah, there's a good tweet I think I saw on Twitter. Maybe we can post it, whether it was Saylor himself or someone else, but kind of cool, interesting narrative there. Not sure whether you think it's got legs, but interesting to see these type of ideas of using Bitcoin for more than payments, as I just like states. I'd be really curious to see whether like MicroStrategy Orange does get any adoption, because that is a real big signal for me at the appetite for using Bitcoin.
And as MicroStrategy evolves into more of a Bitcoin-oriented company and sort of leaving behind their status as a, you know, business intelligence software company, they'll continue to report, I suppose, on the progress of this in their next quarterly updates and whatever. So it'll be good to check in to see what the adoption of Orange has been. Over to the altcoin side of things, and the biggest story from the past 7 days was Eigenlayer. So they announced their token and then also their distribution plans for this token. I did do a member post about this and my thoughts on it last week. So if anyone interested, you can check out that post. But yeah, it did, you know, really shake things up in terms of sentiment from airdrop farmers at large. But I suppose specifically to Eigenlayer, what they did was, yeah, announce a token, and I suppose they announced what was seen as sort of an underwhelming percentage of the token supply going to those initial users who contributed and deposited funds to Eigenlayer over the past 12 months or so. I think only 5% of the total supply of the token went to those users who were responsible for about 15 billion or so of total deposited amounts. And then a second large criticism was, just this whole miscommunication, or whatever you call it, lack of planning, lack of foresight, where Eigenlayer wasn't really upfront with, there weren't any restrictions on who could deposit into the app, in particular, if you're from the US or Canada or many other countries, they would happily take your money, to really put it one way. But then they've come out last week and announced that those people from those countries are not going to qualify for the airdrop. So a lot of criticism from people who, felt like they were, that felt like they were used in a way. Yeah. So yeah, it was a really, really controversial.
Did it change your opinion on, I guess, the overall token, the team? I know you were in the member post, you were a bit disappointed, or you were a bit concerned with, I guess, the delivery of it. Did any of these updates change that outlook then?
Yeah, so I was very disappointed with the team. It just in terms of the PR, it was like basic communications, really. In terms of being a crypto project, you really need to know how to communicate to know all the stakeholders at play. And they did a really poor job of, I guess, not foreseeing how it would be received. But they did, yeah. I guess the additional point to this story is they did come out 3 days later or so and actually update the airdrop figures, and turned out to be quite well received, I suppose. They did add some additional eigen tokens to people who were maybe lower on the, I guess, graph of terms of amount contributed. I was speaking to some members, even, people who received, I think, 10 eigen tokens initially, ended up receiving 110 eigen tokens because 100 tokens was added to every single address, which was well received. And it was good to see them, I guess, quickly respond to that criticism. You could argue that's a sign of a good team, but you could also argue that they sort of had their hands tied in a way. So it's just this whole thing about teams' perception of airdrop farmers and whatnot, I suppose, is an ongoing thing in crypto. I know we saw Starknet earlier this year was really widely criticized from the airdrop farmers. Importantly, others would argue they did the right thing. So there's no really correct answer on any of this stuff about token distribution and how much or how little to give to airdrop farmers. But overall, I was pleased to see EigenLayer update and bring out those new announcements late last week.
Yeah, perhaps that's one we'll just continue to update on, and I'm no doubt about it. This is not going to be the last we're talking about EigenLayer on the pod. So keen to hear more from the team once they fully roll out. Really excited for that one.
Yeah,
another one that's probably going under the radar in a way is TON, which is the native cryptocurrency to Telegram. I saw this week that Pantera Capital made an undisclosed so-called eight-figure investment into the TON ecosystem. Probably one of the most notable cryptocurrencies to gain real usage in a real utility-driven manner. You can use TON to purchase advertising space and get access to revenue, and it's powering, one of the biggest one of the biggest messaging apps in the world. They really noted a quote there from Pantera Capital. They said that, quote, Telegram is the only major messaging platform that is free of regulatory hurdles to incorporate Web3 for an open blockchain network. So those pretty positive statements from Pantera, and they're really saying that, hey, don't fade Telegram here and what TON ecosystem is building. So one to pay attention to, and that one's really surged up the rankings and now pushing towards, I think, top 10. So really excited to see TON, and I think we're going to see a lot more utility driven from the ecosystem.
Yeah, absolutely. Great to see more competition coming into the markets. And one altcoin here, another update is Aave. So yeah, probably the biggest news related to them in quite a while, with the team behind it proposing a strategic roadmap until 2030, which is quite ambitious. So one of those points in the roadmap were to develop Aave V4. So yeah, more to come on that, I suppose. But some big plans coming with Aave, it seems, at this stage.
Yeah, big one, because I think we always talk about Aave being a bit of a slow mover. Nothing really changes too much in Aave land apart from their stablecoin they tried to get going. So that was one I think everyone was looking forward to, because they were very quiet in recent times. Maybe someone that's not as quiet is the FTX estate, which was very made a lot of headlines because of the amount of cryptocurrency that they're holding and potentially selling on top of the market. Now, we talked about in past podcasts, Solana being a major one here, and a lot of bearish takes were that they had so much tokens that they were going to drag down the price of Solana with a lot of these sales. We talked about how that probably wasn't the case because of the token lockups. And we finally got the latest batch of Solana sales from the FTX estate, which ended with bids upwards of $100 per sol. So this was pretty notable because it seemed to indicate there was good demand for sol above that $100 mark. You have to take into consideration that previous sales got allowed investors and hedge funds who were able to accumulate large amounts of capital to buy, millions and millions worth of sol from the FTX estate. They were able to attain a price of about $65. So now we're seeing that, hey, the bids are higher, and it does seem like there's a lot of organic demand for sol.
Yeah, really promising to see. And yeah, it's really flipped in a way. As you said, like it was the most common bear case for Solana 12 months ago. Everyone's saying, yeah, then it's probably a big lesson really to take for anyone newer to crypto. Like often one of people's widespread opinions and views are often not really reality. I wouldn't say often, but it's pretty common in crypto where, yeah, the headline was, yeah, FTX estate to sell a bunch of Solana, which is true, but not included in the headline is it will be coming in 2028, 2029 once these fully vest. So yeah, that's just something to note and another good lesson, because I think the most of this Solana has now been sold. If I'm understanding correct.
Yeah, we're really ending the tail end of the sales. So we shouldn't really see too many news headlines of a lot of these Solana sales. So FTX definitely rearing the end of this Solana sell saga.
Nice. Okay, on to overrated or overappreciated and underappreciated. The one I found from the past week that I think is underappreciated, it was Base recently announcing that they're going to do the second version of On-Chain Summer. So that was the big launch promotion or campaign that Base did, I think, about last August. And they announced that it's coming back. And I expect it to be, a really significant event, mainly in terms of just announcements. I would also expect there to be a bunch of projects launching on Base. And importantly for us as users, I'm expecting there to be heavy, financial incentives, talking things like transaction discounts, things like airdrop opportunities, and other, campaigns or other things that you can participate in as part of On-Chain Summer. And it's also, I suppose, bear case for L2's short term. Not a bear case, but maybe a consideration that, hey, Base may be getting all of the mindshare for July and August. So it may make things a bit more difficult for the likes of Starknet, ZK Sync, and maybe even Arbitrum and Arbitrum in particular. That's more of a very short-term outlook, though.
Yeah, I'd be keen to see how fees hold up on the network. Mm. That's going to be probably the biggest test yet
100%.
Of Ethereum's new upgrade, which allowed Base and other L2s to become much cheaper. With On-Chain Summer, it's going to be a huge test to see how and what prices end up being like on-chain with much more demand.
Yeah, great point.
And yeah, maybe I've got BlackRock in my eyesight today for over underappreciated. Underappreciated for their round that they led for Securitize, which was a security management platform. Essentially, they're working to bring a lot of different securities in the market on-chain, and they work with BlackRock in their latest build fund to help them deploy their sort of on-chain activity, which leads us to maybe the most underrated was that the BlackRock build fund, which got so much talk, finally became, I think, one of the most used on-chain funds by TVL. They bet, I think, Franklin Templeton's on-chain fund, which was the number one for many years.
Mm.
So they accumulated something like $400 million worth of value within the space of a month. So huge demands for BlackRock's funds. And it's also just something that is almost cannot be more underrated. Hearing BlackRock deploying on Ethereum and building on chain, it's something you would think would be a headline at all-time highs.
Yeah.
Let alone where we just come down 20% from the all-time highs. So these are the little things that I look for and that make me really excited. And boy, I can only imagine what BlackRock has next with this round that they, helped invest in for Securitize. I don't think BlackRock's even at the ends of, they're only getting started. So a lot to look forward to.
Ah, great point. I think we'll talk about it. It's like, I was listening to the Securitize executive or founder earlier this year, and they hinted at more coming from BlackRock after this Biddle fund that they're already working on. And just to see it's already number one and, to think such a giant of the asset management space is deploying on chain, and that it's the headlines you could only dream of years ago. Really shows how far things have come and what's ahead as well. So for that, we will get to that hopefully more weeks in this year. But for now, that does wrap things up. If you are looking for more insights, see our revamped weekly Shift newsletter, providing a free weekly market update and coverage of the most important news every Friday. You can subscribe to that at collectiveshift.io/newsletter. That's collectiveshift.io/newsletter.